Hi, welcome back. Nice to have you. Rush Limbaugh, documented to be almost always right. 98.5% of the time, highly trained broadcast specialist, making it look easy. Do not try this at home. Save yourself some embarrassment. 800-282-2882 if you would like to be on the program. If you want to go the email route, it's rush@eibnet.com. All right, let's go through some of the other items here in the stack of stuff. As you know, House of Representatives today having a debate, a floor debate on the war on terror. Democrats wanted a debate on the war on Iraq, and Republicans, this is all the same thing, and the Democrats now thinking they've been tricked. And you know what this is like? I'll tell you what this is like. You go back to 2002. 2002, running up to the midterm election sometime in August, the war drums were sounding from the White House. And public opinion was pretty hep to that. It wasn't even a year after 9/11. And the president was suggesting he had the authority to go ahead and start military operations because the congressional resolution he got was a couple of days, 5 days after 9/11. Democrats said, no. That's not enough. We want more. We want another debate. We want to go on the record. We want additional votes because they wanted to get in on all this positive action. They wanted to participate in a positive vibe. So Bush said, well, okay. I mean, if you guys want to have a debate, he called up the majority leader in the Senate and said, let them have at it if that's what they want to do. So they did that instead of campaigning for the midterm elections. Then the Wellstone Memorial came along and they blew that sky high. And now this is almost a repeat of that. The LA Times has a story, the Republican Party's Iraq offensive. The Iraq war is the most immediate foreign policy problem besetting the Bush administration, but as a political issue, the White House and top Republican strategists have concluded the war is a clear winner. GOP officials intend to base the midterm election campaign partly on taking up the war, using speeches and events to contrast the president's policies against growing disagreement among leading Democrats. Republican lawmakers and strategists said yesterday the campaign to frame the Iraq debate would play out over the summer and into the fall, focusing on battleground congressional districts and states with competitive Senate races. It just reminds me of Daschle demanding this debate on the war. Now they're going to get it. Officially, the House debate will be the first time the chamber, the House, has argued the pros and cons of the invasion and occupation of Iraq since the war began more than 3 years ago. But Democrats, who have repeatedly called for a debate on the war, have denounced this week's event as little more than a political trap to embarrass them and force acquiescence with administration policy. In addition to that, in the Senate, leading Democrats have met several times to try to forestall an effort by John Kerry, who, by the way, served in Vietnam, to introduce an amendment to the defense bill that would require troop withdrawals to begin this year. The Democrats had meetings trying to head off John F. Kerry and his suicidal move. And this story went to press last night before the news had been released about the Zarqawi document that makes it clear we are kicking ass, that we are succeeding royally, that they were panicked and that they were in big trouble and they were fomenting strategies to try to beat us. It had nothing to do with the battlefield strategies because they were losing those. And I spent the first hour on this, and if you missed it, we'll have it on the website when we update late this afternoon. So the Democrats have once again stepped in it. Republicans are going to campaign on the war. How was the right thing to do? Of course. It's a good move even before the Zarqawi document was discovered in his hideout, because it is a positive thing. It's defending the country. It's the war on terror. It's inseparable from the war on terror. Democrats wanted to treat Iraq as though it was unnecessary. Bush lied. They wanted that whole debate. But now they're going to get it, and now they don't want it. They asked for it. Now they don't want it because they suspect that it is a trap. Here's the Washington Times version of the story. House Democrats accusing Republicans of politicizing the upcoming debate on the Iraq war, saying the majority party, the Republicans, have pulled a bait and switch by focusing the debate on terrorism instead of about Iraq policy as promised. See, Democrats didn't want to discuss the war on terror. They only wanted to discuss Iraq. And now they really don't want to discuss Iraq because of the good news. Marty Meehan, Massachusetts Democrat, Armed Services Committee member, said it's inexcusable and it's indefensible that at a time when we should be discussing the details of Iraqi policy, that they come up with a political document designed for a political message, political spin, and political debate at a time when our men and women are in harm's way. Republicans delivered a document that fuzzes together the war on terrorism with Iraq, said Ike Skelton of Missouri, the top Democrat on the Armed Services Committee. Says there are two different wars. We don't want to. They're just entrapped. And then the San Francisco Chronicle here with their reporter Mark Sandelow in Washington. Bush seizes on favorable Iraq developments to boost GOP election hopes. And also this story mentions that the Zarqawi death, the capturing and the killing of Zarqawi and his boys, spoiled the unveiling of the Democrats' new direction theme. But no, it didn't, Mr. Sandelow, because I announced their new direction theme last hour. So it has been announced, even though Nancy Pelosi said that they had delayed it and put it off again out of respect to the troops and the president, which they have none of that respect for the president or the troops. Here's Nancy Pelosi again from the Wolf Blitzer show on CNN last night. And I said, Representative Mel Watt, Chairman Congressional Black Caucus, said that this is unfair to you trying to kick William Jefferson, Democrat Louisiana, off of the Ways and Means Committee. He said, if the only person you've applied it to is a black member of Congress, then our community will legitimately ask, what in the world are you all doing? What are you doing, Ms. Pelosi?
Whether Mr. Jefferson were black or if he's white, the facts are that I believe he has brought dishonor to the House and he should step aside from his position on the Ways and Means Committee. I believe that members of Congress should be held to a higher standard and a higher ethical standard, and I apply that to all members of our caucus, respecting the magnificent diversity of our caucus. But yes, we are having a higher standard now. And any member of Congress who has $90,000 in his freezer can be sure he's going to hear from me that he or she should step aside.
All right. Now, as you know, we took a position on this, what was it, a week before last? Was it last week? It's already Thursday. Last week. The Congressional Black Caucus. And some of you, you know, may think, yeah, well, get Jefferson out of there. I mean, look at what they did to delay. Yeah, two wrongs don't make a right. Besides, the Republicans wrote that stupid rule that basically gave the Democrats de facto control over who's in their leadership. As they said, Republicans in their rule said, hey, anybody indicted loses their leadership post. Now the Democrats had to do, go out and find a flack hack prosecutor like Ronnie Earle, shop at grand jury after grand jury after grand jury, come up with bogus indictments, and DeLay has to quit. Republican rule. Democrats don't have that rule. Now, Congressman William Jefferson, Democrat Louisiana, has indeed been found with $90,000 in cold cash in his freezer. And there is a videotape of Congressman William Jefferson accepting $100,000. But Congressman Jefferson hasn't been charged. Congressman William Jefferson, Democrat Louisiana, has not been indicted. And as such, he hasn't been convicted. And here the Democrats are, out there saying that they care about blacks and they're going to shepherd blacks through the wilderness, protect them from the racism and the bigotry of Republicans. Stick with us, the Democrats have said, and your promised land shall be reached. And now here's Nancy Pelosi, white chick, wants to kick Congressman William Jefferson, Democrat Louisiana, off the Ways and Means Committee. He hasn't been charged, hasn't been convicted, hasn't been indicted. Black caucus says, what about the rule of law? I stand with the Black caucus. The Black caucus is right. He hasn't been charged with anything. All there are is a bunch of allegations out there. If Ms. Pelosi is so afraid of the damage that might incur by the result of Congressman William Jefferson, Democrat Louisiana, and that's not what she's... She doesn't even care about Congressman William Jefferson, Democrat Louisiana. She wants him gone so she can carry on with his asinine culture of corruption. But in this case, the Congressional Black Caucus is right. A black member of Congress is being railroaded by the white Democrat leadership because they are afraid he will taint a campaign strategy of theirs, not the House. They don't care what his opinion what opinion he causes people to form of the House. They're worried about their upcoming campaign themes. And the Congressional Black Caucus is right to hold firm on the rule of law, and I, for the second time in a week, announce my steadfast support, the Congressional Black Caucus, in the case of Congressman William Jefferson, Democrat, Louisiana. All right, back to the phones. People patiently waiting today, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This Gene, and welcome to the program.
Well, hello, mega dittos.
Thank you.
How you doing, Rush?
Couldn't be better since you called.
Good. I wanted to say Vernon is a man.
That you know Vernon? Do you know Vernon?
No.
You know Vernon Robinson?
I don't know him personally. I just love his, what can you say? He stands for something.
Yes, he does.
I love stands a man.
Stands for a lot of things.
Yes. And besides yourself, that's one I wouldn't mind marrying.
In my case, join the line.
I love
saying this stuff. Just to I love saying this stuff, folks. Just to watch Dawn's reaction. I just. All right, let's do because she's calling about an ad. Vernon Robinson is running for Congress as a Republican in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Has one of the best television ads out there in a long time. We have the audio to it. We are going to link to this at rushlimbaugh.com, link to his website, because the video of this ad will start playing automatically once you log on to his website. And the pictures, some of the pictures, like we mentioned Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton in this ad, and the picture of Reverend Dax in this ad is his mugshot. And the picture is a mugshot, and the picture of the Reverend Sharpton is back in the big jewelry, big hair, heavier days. I think they've got a medallion on. Yeah, he's wearing a cleric's collar with the jacket. Here's the audio of the ad.
If you're a conservative Republican, watching the news these days can make you feel as though you are in the Twilight Zone. Americans are under attack from Islamic extremists in every corner of the world. Homosexuals are mocking holy matrimony, and the lesbians and feminists are attacking everything sacred. Liberal judges have completely rewritten the Constitution. You can burn the American flag and kill a million babies a year, but you can't post the Ten Commandments or say God in public.
One nation under...
7 out of every 10 black children are born out of wedlock, and Jackson and Sharpton claim the answer is racial quotas. And the aliens are here, but they didn't come in a spaceship. They came across our unguarded Mexican border by the millions.
I'm Vernon Robinson. If you send me to Congress, I'll send that back to the Twilight Zone. I approve of this message and of traditional American values.
And, of course, it concludes with Leave It to Beaver type music. That is just a great, great ad. And, by the way, we were told the Democrats could be running a national campaign in their House races this year. It sounds to me like Vernon Robinson, who is black, by the way, and he is a target now. They are targeting this guy like he's going to be targeted, not to the extent Clarence Thomas was, but it may be Michael Steele, Ken Blackwell, Lynn Swann. Pardon the French here, this is off the plantation. He has escaped and wandered off a liberal Democrat plantation, and this is not allowed. This is not permitted. If they could, they grabbed this guy, they sent him to one flew over the cuckoo's nest and let Hillary as Nurse Ratchet try to get his mind right. Either that or send him to the warden, a cool hand Luke, and put him in a box. I can't tell you folks, this wouldn't have happened 20 years ago. You wouldn't have had a black Democrat congressional candidate in North Carolina running a spot like this and mocking the Reverend Dax and Al Sharpton. But it's a new day out there. Vernon Robinson, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Justin in Rochester, Michigan, I hope. Welcome to the program.
Rush, I need absolution.
Okay, for what?
I have just finished my last day of my junior year in Oakland University here in Rochester, Michigan, for my women's studies course, and I have sold my soul for the grade.
Wait.
Women's studies, I said it.
Women's studies course?
Yep, it's a general education requirement at Oakland University here.
How do you spell Oakland University? O-A-K-L-E-Y or something like that?
L-A-N-D. And let me
Oakland,
tell you.
Oh, Oakland.
Oakland.
Oakland, okay. No one ever heard of it. All right.
Yeah,
what is your major out there, Justin?
I'm a poli-sci major.
And so is it a general education requirement because of your major, or is it just general education requirement even if you're going to major in, say, basketball?
It satisfies the U.S. diversity requirement at Oakland. So all everybody right. really
okay.
has to take it.
Okay, so I understand it. So you had to take the course.
I did.
It's women's studies. You got a 4.0 in it. But
and
you
I
had,
sold my soul.
Tell me how you sold your soul to get a 4.0 in women's studies.
I said everything from patriarchy is the devil, men should be thrown out of Congress, we should have quotas for females in Congress because there's not enough female representation in politics.
You said all this, huh?
I did, and you know, I got the grade, but I don't know if I can live with myself anymore.
You know, you're the second student this semester who has called here asking for absolution after engaging in similar activity. And I told the last guy, I said, well, this is perfect if you're going to run for office someday. What are your plans?
I'll tell you, I plan on going to law school and then, you know, hopefully one day run for office. But still, if these papers ever come out to the public, I don't think I could run on a Republican ticket.
Wrong. Now, I understand the pressures of being an institution of higher learning. And I know that you probably have grand plans and you need a GPA that you can be proud of, right? I mean, you want the highest GPA you can to take it because that's your ticket.
Yeah.
And, of course, women's studies, I think you get an A just for showing up once a week, much less submitting all the required work. But I think, you know, I'm torn here. I mean, I love people who stand on principle, but as a classroom where you need a GPA with some cockamamie professor to place to do it, there are some students making names for themselves by doing this, by outing various teachers. In your case, if you're worried about these papers that you've written ever going public, you have an opportunity to be honest, which is what is required. Be honest. They made me take this. It was a waste of my time. It was a requirement for diversity. I wanted a high GPA, and so I had to go in there and do what I had to do. And the fact that I could bamboozle this guy or this woman, whoever was the professor, to the point that I, Justin X, can go in and get a 4.0 proves how worthless the course is. Because they didn't teach me diddly squat. I resisted at every turn, and yet they think they recruited me.
You know, I'll tell you, though, we had to write three papers for the course, and my first paper...
Hang on. Hold the thought. I may change my mind if you keep giving me details here. Quick timeout. We'll continue the discussion here in just a second. All right, by popular demand, we have linked to the Vernon Robinson television spot at rushlimbaugh.com. We're not waiting for late this afternoon. We put it up there now. The link occupies the place, the upper right-hand corner of my homepage, which featured last night and up till now the picture of my homeless brother, David, wandering the streets of Cape Girardeau, Missouri. By the way, I said that Vernon Robinson was a Democrat. He's a Republican. I know he's a Republican. I'm just saying the Democrat, they're going to be out for this guy. He's off the reservation, off the plantation, and he's a man. This guy is a man, and he's standing up to these people on the other side of the aisle as bravely and courageously, truthfully, as any candidate we can remember in recent memories. All right. Now, Justin, back to you in Rochester, Michigan. Justin, I must tell you during the break here, I've taken a pretty good beating myself from the staff because I think I'm going easy on you.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, like I was going to say before the break, the very first paper I turned in for this professor, I told her what I felt. I told her what made sense, what anybody would really think, and I got a 3-0 on it. The last two papers, I told her what she wanted to hear, and I got a 4-0.
All right. Here's some of the things that the staff have been, and they've been beating me up because they think you're not exhibiting manly traits by caving into these. No, I just want you to hear this. You called here wanting absolution. First question from Dawn. Let me get this out of the way. She wants to know if you got any dates in this class.
If I got any dates, well, yeah. I've been trying to.
You've got to be kidding me. You've been trying to get dates from women going to a women's studies class?
Well, no. One of my friends is in the class, and I actually just met her this semester, and she feels the same way I do. So there's not all feminazis in this class.
All right. Okay, you've been trying to. We applaud effort here at the EIB Network. Second question is this. Do you think maybe if you'd have stood your ground throughout the course that you might have been able to educate and save some of the other classmates from the depths of despair that women's studies will send them spiraling down towards?
Absolutely not. The thing is, people just, they're insane. They don't understand that what they say isn't.
Not until they hear it from a forcefully presented person with conviction, and then you could have saved them. If you'd have stood your ground, you could have saved. Now, I know you want a 4.0 throughout your whole college record, right?
I do.
And so you need a 4.0 in this class.
I do.
So you felt you had to do what you had to do in that case. But as I say, some of my cohorts here are a little bit upset with you that you didn't stand your ground, that you haven't acted as a real man would in this case, that you have capitulated to the pressures of feminazism.
See, Rush, that's the thing. If I would have stood my ground and got the lower grade.
Okay, well then, why do you want to? Why you feel guilty then? You feel guilty for a reason.
I feel guilty just because I. First of all, I wish I wouldn't have taken the class. But see, I still need the grade. The overall plan for me is to transfer to the University of Michigan.
Well, you know, I wish I didn't have to go into Castle of Coke either, but I had to do it. I mean, you can't say we should have to take the class because it was a requirement.
But the thing is, I need the grade, and I need to. I tried to stand my ground, and I tried to present reasonable arguments to this professor, but she doesn't listen. I mean, it just goes in one ear, out the other. She respects me, quote unquote, but she doesn't understand what I'm saying.
Well, you know, just I admit I'm torn. My cohorts here in the staff want me to hammer you, and I just don't have. I should point out to you though. Well, one thing, you know, you're worried about getting a 4.0 throughout your college career.
I am.
I flunked college, not just a class. I did flunk speech twice, but I went to every class. They should have called it outline 101. I didn't outline the speeches because I already had a pattern I had developed for giving speeches. I gave every speech, showed up, but I didn't outline them. F didn't complete course requirement. I had to take ballroom dance as a required PE course taught by a lesbian drill sergeant in the wax. I said, this is not for me. I knew what I wanted to do, and this just wasn't. And I never went to that class. And my mother took my car away from me and drove me to it one day. And I'm in college, dude. I'm 19 years old. My mother's driving me to school. I flunked college. And look at me.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I didn't try to become a lesbian military dancer to succeed in ballroom dance.
But I'm also trying to get into U of M's law school. And, you know, you need to. You need the grade for that. That's my goal.
I understand that. Well, you're just going to have to live with this. In fact, I'll tell you what I'm going to cut you some slack. I'm going to suggest that I know you had to do it in college, but you can't do this in life.
Oh, of course not.
You can't do it in life. If you really want to be all you can be and matter, and if you want to reach your full potential, you're going to have to do it being who you are. If you start scamming people, if you start telling them and presenting yourself as something that you're not just to get on their good side, you're going to be found out as a fraud at some point or another, and you're going to go nowhere.
Of course.
So don't let this be a lesson to you. Don't think this is how you can go through life.
Okay, well, as long as I get the grade, I guess.
Yeah, you may have the same thing come up in your law school professor class. You know, you're going to be getting into paper chase, and you don't try scamming those guys. You know, if you're going to learn, you have to tell people what you really think.
Okay, well, right. we'll see what happens.
Yes, we will. We're going to keep our eye on you too.
Okay,
Snurdly, calm down in there. Just. Justin, I have to tell you, Snurdly is really upset with you. I have to tell you, and he's saying that you're going to end up caving and doing whatever you have to do to earn money.
I'll tell you, I want to go to U of M's law school, but I do want to run for office. I mean, I'm standing on my ground here for.
Well, then you did the. We've gone on 10 minutes longer. If you want to run for office, you did exactly the right thing.
So.
Yeah, if you're going to run for office, especially to tell you you got to represent yourself as all people, all things to all people.
I do.
Yeah, and then you get into office and you change your mind after you get there, after so forth. So, you shouldn't feel guilty at all. You're following, in fact, the correct career path if that's what you want to do, is run for office. And as such, your instincts are unassailable. Thanks for the call, Justin. Bruce in Lindstrom, Minnesota. You are next. Welcome to the EIB Network.
Oh, man, Rush. I can't believe I'm talking to you. This is amazing. I've been listening to you for well over 10 years. And,
thank you, sir.
This is an honor and a privilege, sir.
Thank you very much.
The caller before you, in my opinion, he's just a worthless human debris. My son is a freshman in college this year, and... he went to one of those multiculturalism classes, and he stood up and basically debated the whole class and the professor throughout the whole semester. And when the class was over, the professor gave him an A. He stood his ground, he held his ground, and he was very eloquent. He didn't budge an inch. He really educated the class, and the professor thought that he was an upperclassman, and the professor was really surprised that he was a freshman. And he's a great fan of yours, a huge conservative, and he's got a poli-sci major as well. And yep. I'm really proud of him.
You ought to be. It sounds like you did a great job shaping him. I know he's obviously a Rush baby, but...
yes, he is.
I'm sure when he was standing up in that classroom, he was reciting things he'd learned from you.
It was just to listen to him tell the story and talk about trying to get girlfriends. I mean, there's women.
No, that was Dawn's. That was Dawn's question. I didn't ask about that.
You know, he's got a very nice girlfriend right now, and she respects him, what he believes in, and he stands up for it and he doesn't waver. And I'm really proud of him for that.
Well, congratulations.
And I thank you for that, Rush.
This is you, baby. You're the on-site direct influence here, and it's obviously taking. I'm swelling with pride for you. I can understand exactly how you feel. Congratulations! A brief timeout. We'll be back and continue right after this. Yeah, be right back. Stay with me. Talent on loan from God. Happy to have you with us on the EIB Network. Got to hear this soundbite, folks. This is Senator Schumer this morning on the floor of the Senate, and he is outraged. He's upset that the new prime minister of Iraq is suggesting amnesty for the insurgency.
It is just mind-boggling to believe that the Iraqi prime minister would decide that it would be okay to give amnesty to those who hurt Americans. What kind of ally is this? President Bush, you should call your friend the Prime Minister and get him to retract this evil statement immediately.
Ooh.
How can we ask American young men and women to risk their lives in Iraq if those who seek to shoot at them are then absolved of any blame?
Whoa.
This is a statement that should really go down in infamy.
Whoa.
I hope and plead with the president to urge the Iraqi prime minister to withdraw the statement and figure out what consequences should follow if the Prime Minister refuses.
My gosh almighty. Why, you would get the impression he actually cares that we win the war. I am stunned. Why, as last time I heard Chuck Schumer talking, he wanted amnesty for all the prisoners at Abu Ghraib and Club Gitmo. He wanted them all released. What are those prisoners trying to do but not kill America, if not kill Americans, and anybody else they can get their hands or mitts on? This, you know, I'm serious. I think the Democrats, I'm really beginning to question just how smart are these people? This is an asinine thing to say, oversold and overblown by about 10 times. And what it indicates at the root of this is a hatred and a disgust for the Iraqis. I know Senator Schumer said, what do you mean? I've been counting up the deaths of American soldiers. It bothers me. It concerns me and so forth. Yeah, well, you don't support their mission. You haven't supported the mission. This is just so over the top, overly dramatic. And yet, it's not okay for the Iraqis to handle their internal affairs the way they want to. But by God, we're not going to put any prisoners in Club Gitmo or Abu Ghraib. And if they end up there, we're going to try to get them ACLU lawyers so that they can have access to U.S. constitutional rights as though they were citizens for the purpose of undermining the war effort. That's where Senator Schumer is off on the deep end here. And the fact he doesn't even see the hypocrisy and contradiction in his own actions is quite telling. Mike in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the EIB Network. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Rush. Thanks a lot for taking my call. It's an honor to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
I just heard that last caller, the college kid that sold himself out for a grade. I got so mad I had to call. I just have no pity for these people. I hear people call in like this from time to time. And, you know, today it's a grade, tomorrow it's a job, later it'll be money. I just have no pity for this. I remember I was in college about 20 years ago, and I was in a medical ethics class. It was a graduate class. I was an art major, and I was in this class with nurses, and there were even a few doctors. I didn't really know quite what I was talking about. But at the end of each class, we would divide up into groups, and we were given a true patient, and we were acting as a medical ethics committee in a hospital, and we were just to decide whether or not to pull the plug. Every single group in this class chose to kill the patient. My group was always divided, and it was because I spoke up. I influenced people, and I wasn't even very well educated at that time like I am now. But I just have no pity for these people. I just think it's like ready to sell. You know, there are people, we have soldiers and Americans that are dying around the world for liberty and for our nation, and we have college graduates that are ready to sell themselves out of fear of being called a name or just to get a good grade. I have no pity for that, and I just don't understand it, and it disgusts me. That's not what we should be looking for in the next generation of Americans. We're not going to change people's minds by selling ourselves out for a grade, for a job, just to get popular. It just made me mad, and I wanted to call.
Well, you've done a great job expressing it. I couldn't agree with you more. Agree with you more. Absolutely. I have never told anybody this, and I'm not going to give details. And I'm not going to, but I just want to put a scary thought in your head. By the way, Mike, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. There have been two occasions where I have been approached over the course of my career to join the other side. The dark side. I have been, well, they don't think it's the dark side. Not that Darth Vader didn't approach, but, I mean, it has been pointed out to me how I could own the country if I were a liberal. Network television, Hollywood gigs, you know, the things like this, but constant media praise, this sort of thing. It's going to be arranged. And I want to tell you, I was not once tempted. Not one time was I tempted. And I'm not the first to whom such approaches have been made. And it hasn't been recent. They gave up on this long ago. That's why they have full-fledged hate and so forth. But it has happened. You've heard me, folks. You've gotten very mad at me. There have been days, not recently, where I've done a whole half hour as a liberal. I had people canceling their tickets to the Rush to Exodus tour because they thought that I'd sold out and so forth. Just to illustrate that it can be done. I couldn't pull it off for long. I don't think. I know I couldn't. But I'm just... it's because I don't believe it. I'm not an actor. And that's what that would have required. At any rate, I must take a brief timeout. We will be back and continue in just a second. Right, folks, don't panic out there. Vernon Robinson's website is not broken. The link is not broken. We've just shut down their server. We've overloaded the server at the Vernon Robinson campaign site where we've got the link posted to see his great TV ad. Just be patient. And as people get in and get out of there, the traffic will subside, and you will be able to get in. But the site's working fine. We've sent more people than their server can handle, and this happens every time we shut down servers routinely on this program. One other thought about Justin. He's really taking it on the chin here. The caller with the political science major and the feminazi class, and he totally compromised his principles in order to get a 4.0. Called here for absolution. There's one thing, folks, you have to remember. He's a guy, he's in a class taught by a feminazi, and the one thing, I mean, let's just be honest, we all know that men lie to women. It's part of nature, and he just may not have been able to help himself. Right, Dawn?